It all happened one day when I was at my tax booth collecting taxes for Rome. I had just finished entering the last transaction in my ledger, and when I looked up, I saw this man that people had been talking about, this itinerant rabbi. They called him Jesus. And he looked very intently and compassionately at me, and he said, "Matthew, come follow me." It wasn't his invitation that struck my heart as much as the words that he spoke to all of those religious people that were gathered around him that kept complaining about the fact that this rabbi was associating with sinners and tax collectors like me. He said to them, "The well have no need of a physician, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." And I knew I was a sinner. In fact, all of my Jewish people in Capernaum had almost ostracized me completely because I worked for Rome, and they hated that oppression. They wouldn't even let me into the synagogue for worship. But I have to tell you, that day I left my tax business and I followed Jesus, and I learned all about the kingdom of God. But I'm really getting ahead of myself. I really want to tell you about the birth of this unusual man. Now, I wasn't there, but I have the story on good authority, because Jesus' mother occasionally would travel with the band of disciples as we went about listening to him preach and teach and heal. The story goes like this. There was this young maiden in Nazareth who was engaged to a carpenter by the name of Joseph. And before they came together as husband and wife, Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a just and righteous Jew, loved Mary very much, and he didn't want to embarrass her, and he certainly didn't want to turn her over to the elders of the city, who may indeed have stoned her to death for her sin. Joseph thought about what he would do and finally decided he would just quietly divorce Mary, and that would be the end of it. But then an angel came to visit him. And the angel said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take as your wife Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I have come to know that this Jesus came in fulfillment of all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, beginning with our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promises that he made to David that someday his son would sit on his throne and he would be a king forever and ever. And I need to tell you people that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and he wants to be the King of your life and the Lord of every decision that you make. Amen.
If I could have all the children join me up front. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning.
I know. They're
Mother's presence.
I know. How are you? You can come sit close. Huh? Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Yes. How many of you like to get presents? Yes. Who can tell me what's one time that you get a present? During the year, what's one time you get a present?
Christmas.
Christmas. That is it. How many like getting Christmas presents?
Yes, me too.
Ooh, we might get something special, right? Yes. Well, today in the lesson, we are talking about presents that wise people brought Jesus when he was really little, like that size little. Okay, so we're going to talk about presents that were brought when someone was that big. Okay, so one of the presents that they bought, since we talked about getting gifts at Christmas, I like this one because it's a really long word. You guys ready? I'm talking long word. Ready? Long word. Does everyone agree it's a long word? Does anyone happen to know what the long word is? What is it? Frankincense. Do you know what frankincense is? You can be. It's very cool. It's an oil. It's a very, very special oil. It was very expensive, and it was an oil that they used to help people understand that they were like a god. They were heavenly, or another word that you can say is that they were a deity. Another big weird word, a deity. So one of the reasons that they brought baby, young Jesus, they brought him a gift to help him realize and help the world realize that he was God. Okay, one gift. How many gifts did they bring?
Three.
Okay, what's another time during the year you get a gift? Your birthday. Woo-hoo. How many like birthdays? Yes, me too. Okay, so in here, smaller word, gold. Anybody like gold?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Is gold cheap or expensive?
Expensive.
And have you ever seen, maybe in person or maybe on pictures, somebody wear gold up here on their head like a crown? Who wears a gold crown?
Me.
Maybe a little? A king or a queen. Yes. And so when they brought that gift of gold, they were helping people realize that Jesus was also big in the earth. He was an earthly king. He was big and more powerful, so he was also his kingship. But this is my favorite bag. How many like getting gifts just because? It's a day that ends in Y. Yes? Do you like to just get a gift because? Yeah, so we had the gift because he was a god. We have a gift because he was an earthly king. And then we had this gift. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. What is that word and what is it? Myrrh. That's exactly how you say it. Myrrh. Uh-huh. Anybody have a guess what myrrh is? Fair guess, not knowing. It is an ointment that they put on dead bodies.
What?
Isn't that what we'd like to give her, something for dead bodies? Right? Right, because she's cute, she's little, and we want to give her something for dead bodies, right? Let's think about this. Jesus, he was our earthly king, he was our God, and what did he do that nobody else could do later on? He raised the dead, and he himself was dead and came alive. So he was a new creation. And so you see these wise people that had to travel a long distance. They didn't get to jump on a plane. They didn't get to ride in a good car. They had to come a long distance. So when baby Jesus was born, the star shows up. Then they had to start the journey. So he was not exactly a baby when he showed up. And they brought these three very impractical gifts, because then Mary and Joseph could sell them to have money to help raise Jesus, but to help us also get who he really was, more than just a little baby. Because you know what? You guys are more than what people see. You are Jesus's light wherever you go. I thank you guys for coming up and helping being this part of the service. We get to go back and we get to sing another song. Thank you guys.
Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lead us not into temptation are the solemn words of petition given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the very one who taught us to pray as it is was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you drive, and no matter how much money you possess, the fact remains, at some point in your life, you will be faced with temptation. Temptation, it seems, is never too far. If you lived any moment in time, you soon find out that temptation is not only an inescapable reality, but it is a lurking inevitability. It is not a question of if, says Professor William Schumacher of Concordia Seminary. It is a question of when. Adversity introduces a man to himself, says Albert Einstein. It's never about the test itself, but how we respond to the test. The test refines us. The test prepares us for the next level of leadership. Between prophecy and promise is a process, a test. Prophecy points to a promise, but in between the two, there is always a process. I once heard someone say, when you ask God for a promotion, he schedules a test. Between your current level and the next level is a lying devil. Jesus understood this all too well. At the precarious and deceptive hour when Jesus should have need of comfort himself, our gracious Lord thinks not of himself, nor of the pain of hunger nagging from deep within. He considers instead Adam and how easily he yielded to the voice of deception in the Garden of Eden. He remembers the children of Israel and how they murmured and complained, longing for bread that could not satisfy. He is reminded of Esau, who for a bowl of soup sold his birthright and stood at the gates of destiny wanting. He looks forward to the future at you and me, perhaps, and thinks of the joy, the peace, the hope, and the kingdom that is to be our inheritance. At this, he musters the strength, confronts his tempter, and issues the solemn rebuke. It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so when temptation comes, when troubled waters rise, and when storms they roar, know this, we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was led into temptation for our victory, and he overcame the tempter for our redemption. We know he has been there, and we know that because he overcame, we too have overcome. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. It is a blessing that I stand before you, member of Peace Lutheran Church. It is always a joy that whenever I get a chance and to share with you. Thank you for everything that you have been doing to enlighten the kingdom of God. Sometimes you may know it and sometimes you may not. I was assigned to share to you about the life and the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was born as a child. He began to walk, eat, face all the tempted things that we always been through. And Jesus, as a loving child who have obeyed everything that his father want him to do, had dedicated his life to serve the message that he has come to share with you and me. With Jesus' love for each and every one of us, Jesus dedicated his life to share the good news, even though by the time you were very little, go to the synagogue where you reason and teach and many wonder. Jesus grew up, have a compassion to help. He has a heart to share the good news, to serve the poor, those who are in need of the healing. He gives sight to the blind, lame to walk, lepers to be clean, and he continues to do that. Never shied away, even in the depth of the thing, of difficult thing that he has gone through. Jesus has a passion for each and every one of you. And Jesus has also teach his disciple. He trained them, and then after that, he sent them out to the world to share the good news. And he did not stop there. Finally, he was killed and died for you so that we will have peace and everlasting life. Are we doing the thing that Jesus has called us to do? Do we hear his word to love one another as we love ourselves, to care for our neighbors? I want to talk to you, specifically you, the member of Peace Lutheran Church, whom I know since 2007 when I was here in this church family. I know what your heart is and what you have been doing. You have shared the message of God to all people around the world. Some you even know, some you do not even know. You share it among the people around here in the city of Earth and beyond, even in Fort Worth and many other places. You work for Sacred Stone, you work for the house that need some referral. You pray for those who are in need for healing. You visit the sick. You always there on the front line as Jesus sent his disciple to do that. And you work beyond that. You go to Central America, to many places that you share the good news. And I want to share a little bit about the work that some of you have done, and many of you have done, through prayer, through your generosity. I've been back home, back and forth, sharing the good news of Jesus since I came here. And that was the message that you have sent me to go and to share the good news of Jesus to many, to save life, and to the place called Afanal, where I've been going to share the good news. The church has been grown, peace has been known. The services that you have done, building churches, buying, keyboarding, solar system for the church, uniform for the deaconess, choir. Those things make sure show that your love for Jesus. And next week I'll be going back to Africa to celebrate the inauguration of the Diocese of Afanal, where they will have a bishop. There are about 500 pastors, many evangelists, about 106 churches. And that work did not come by itself. It comes because of you. You are doing what Jesus has said to his disciples, to go to the world and to make a disciple of all nations. What a wonderful and a blessing community of this church, a peace Lutheran church. Jesus looked upon you and said, "You are my faithful servant. You are doing what Jesus has called you to do. And you are indeed the messenger to the world." And as you will be going home or go to work or wherever, know that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you because you love him also. Amen.
The Passion of Jesus. Our text for today is in Mark chapter 15, verses 22 to 39. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we might see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." 6 hours. What an amazing 6 hours that Jesus would spend on the cross for you and for me. The insiders, the Jews, came to hurl insults at Jesus and to kick him while he was down. But Jesus wasn't out. Jesus watched as the darkness came in the sixth hour. Jesus watched as the devil started to think for just a moment that Jesus would be down for the count. The interesting thing is, the Passion is, where everything looks wrong, but everything is exactly right. Jesus went there with purpose and passion, not for any crime he committed, But he went with passion for you and for me. He went to take care of the world once and for all. He went to pay the price for our sin. And as Jesus gave out a loud cry and breathed his last for that moment, the victory was won. The payment was made. Our sins were forgiven. And an outsider, a soldier, brings the good news. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Today we echo those words of a soldier, that truly Jesus is the Son of God. That truly Jesus gives us hope that when we take our final breath, we know that it is not the end of the story. We still have more to hear. We still have more to know about the grace and love that Jesus poured out over those 6 hours. Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The breaking news headline on Friday evening read, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." The devil and all the enemies of the gospel were ready to announce that he is dead. He is done. They took him to the tomb. They put a big stone in front of the tomb so that no one can roll the stones away from the tomb. And then they put two guards to make sure that the disciples did not steal the body and announce that he is risen from the dead. Well, all was done perfectly. But, you know, the headlines on Sunday morning said, "He is risen." You are a little awake than the first group, but they can do better. So the headline said, "He is risen."
He is risen.
So they came and they saw the tomb and it was empty. There was nothing. Jesus was risen.
He is risen.
And I'm sure the devil was not rejoicing at that moment, was he? He did everything that he can to dissuade him from going to the cross, paying the price, going to the tomb, experiencing death and hell, and rising again victorious over death. The devil did not want to see this happen. So he thought it was finished, but Jesus was not done yet. He rose again from the dead. What a glorious day. You know, many, many people throughout history, very intelligent people, have tried to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. Many, many skeptics, but none whatsoever have been able to prove that that was false. I'm sure there are some skeptics, even in our midst this morning, who may think that all this is a fiction. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I have good news for you. He is risen. Jesus has risen from the dead, and that, my friends, is the reason for our assembling together this morning. Remember what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter that's known as the resurrection chapter? He said, if you believe that Jesus was not raised from the dead, you are the most pitiful people on the face of the earth. But if Jesus is risen from the dead, he continues to say, we shall not mourn as those who do not believe. He is risen. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to gossip the good gossip. Amen.
Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Christ the King. Christ is more than King of the world because he was offered to be King of the world when Satan says, I'll give you all of these kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus' response was from the very word of God. Worship the Lord your God only and serve him only. Now the problem is that we go after other gods. We worship other things. How many times do we fret and worry about, do we have enough to make it to the next week or the next month? How many times do we fret and worry in saying that, does he or does she love me enough to stay in the marriage? How many times do we fret and worry? Is my health going to last? Will I be able to take care of myself? Because after all, we're very prideful people. We would rather be able to do it in our own time, in our own way, versus other people waiting on us. Christ the King, he is the King of the universe. And when I say King of the universe, it's all creation and all of heaven combined. His power surpasses all human power. So if we took all of the atomic weapons in the world and put them all together and detonated them, they would be infinitesimal to the very power of our Lord and Savior, the one who will bring his holy angels and raise the dead, because there will be a day of judgment. Jesus is King of everyone, believers and non-believers as well. We belong to Jesus because we have been redeemed, bought back. Now, you might not think of yourself ever being a slave to anything, but Jesus said, if you sin, you are a slave to sin. And we're all sinners. And that's why Jesus came the first time. And the second time he comes to separate sheep from goats, believers from non-believers. And that final judgment day for a believer is a great day of celebration. But the day is also a day of great dread for the unbeliever. because they will be condemned for eternity. As it says in the book of Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see, when Jesus returns, this is a cosmic event. Cosmic for all believers as we celebrate the resurrected Lord. But a day of judgment and dread for all who will not believe. So when that final day comes, because nothing can stop Jesus, because he is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he is all-cosmic. His reign is over the entire universe of creation and heaven alike. On that final day, I ask myself, what would I say when I see my Lord, my King, coming on the clouds with all of his angels? Well, I thought about his first coming in the little drummer boy. I have no gift to bring, parumpa-pum-pum, that's fit to our King, parumpa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you, parumpa-pum-pum? Mary nodded, parumpa-pum-pum. I will give my life for you, parumpa-pum-pum. I will give my heart to you, parumpa-pum-pum. I will give you all praise and glory as my King of Kings, parumpa-pum-pum. Amen. I invite you to stand for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. The Lord look upon you with his peace and give you his favor and honor and joy. And all God's people say, amen.